Hey, everyone. Welcome back. You're ready to dive deep again with us?
Always.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Today, we're going to be tackling something pretty heavy, actually. We're going to be looking at the idea of idolatry
Okay.
as it's presented in the book of Jeremiah,
Yes.
specifically chapters 8 through 10.
Yeah, those are some powerful chapters.
They are. And to help us kind of unpack all this, we're going to be using Dr. Gary Yates's lecture. He's got some really fascinating insights on all this.
I agree. I found his lecture very insightful.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that struck me right away was that we're not just talking about, ancient statues and people bowing down to, idols made of wood and stone, but
Yeah.
we're really going to be looking at those idols, you could say, that we
Yeah.
might be setting up in our own lives.
It's so true. And it's fascinating that the ancient Israelites actually believed you become like what you worship.
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, we'll get into some examples later that might make you really rethink where you're putting your time and energy.
Okay, I'm definitely intrigued now. So Dr. Yates talks a lot about Judah's what he calls heart problem,
Yes.
their refusal to turn back to God.
Yeah.
What exactly does he mean by that?
Well, he's referring to this kind of like deep-seated resistance to change, this stubborn clinging to their own ways.
Okay.
In fact, Jeremiah describes their sin as being engraved on their hearts,
Oh, wow.
like with an iron pen on a stone tablet.
Wow, that's a powerful image.
It is.
Can you connect that to something in our lives today? I mean, how does that relate
Yeah.
to us?
Well, think about a time when you've struggled to break a bad habit, that feeling of being stuck,
Yeah.
unable to change, even though you know you should.
Right.
That's a glimpse of this heart problem at work.
So it's not just about doing bad things.
Right.
It's about a deeper issue of the
Yes.
heart.
Exactly.
Okay. So, but what exactly was their sin? I mean, it sounds like idolatry was a big deal, but was it really just about bowing down to statues?
Well, not quite. You see, idolatry back then was more about their strategy for forgetting what they thought would make life meaningful.
Okay.
They were chasing after things like money and power, security, even, sensual pleasure.
Right.
They thought these things held the key to happiness. Does any of that sound familiar?
Well, those desires certainly haven't gone out of style.
No, they haven't.
But what happened when they chose those things over God?
Well, the consequences were devastating. God warned them over and over that their idolatry would lead to destruction. He even used the image of their bones being scattered before the very stars and planets they worshipped.
Oh, wow.
Pretty disturbing.
Okay, that's intense. But honestly, worshiping the sun and the moon just seems so, I don't know,
But primitive.
primitive. Yeah, it's hard to imagine anyone taking that seriously today.
Yeah.
Jeremiah kind of felt the same way.
Really?
He uses this really biting sarcasm to expose how powerless those idols really are.
Okay.
He points out that, they can't speak, they
Wow.
can't walk, they can't even stand up on their own.
Yeah, he even quotes God as saying, "Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols. They are worthless, a work of delusion." I can almost hear the eye roll in Jeremiah's voice.
Yeah, you can sense his frustration.
Yeah.
We might laugh at the idea of worshiping a statue,
Right.
but what about the things we chase after today?
That's a good point.
What are our modern day golden calves, so to speak?
Yeah.
Those things that promise fulfillment,
Yeah.
but ultimately leave us empty.
That's a great question. I think that's what makes this whole deep dive so relevant.
I agree.
It's this idea that we actually become like what we worship.
It's a powerful thought, isn't it?
It is. It's pretty mind-blowing,
It
actually.
is, and it's a concept that goes way back. Dr. Yates explains that the ancient Israelites truly believed that people take on the characteristics of what they worship.
Okay.
For example, after they worshiped the golden calf, they were described as stiff-necked.
Stiff-necked.
Yeah, stubborn and unyielding, just like cattle.
That's a crazy visual, but it makes a lot of sense.
It does.
Are there any modern day examples of this? I mean,
Oh, there are
how does
tons.
this play out in our lives today?
Yeah, well, we can get into that. Oh, yeah, tons. I'm really curious about that. Dr. Yates brought in some insights from Tim Keller,
Okay.
who had some pretty compelling examples.
Yeah, I remember that.
Do you remember what those were?
Oh yeah. Keller argues that our idols can actually like subtly reshape our desires
Yes.
and behaviors
Yeah.
and ultimately our character, right?
Exactly. For instance, let's say someone who just idolizes success.
Okay.
They might become so driven by work that they end up neglecting, you know, their family,
right.
their friendships,
yeah.
all in the pursuit of achievement.
Yeah. It's like their whole identity becomes wrapped up in their work.
It is, yeah.
They become, you know, a success machine, so to speak.
Exactly, exactly. And on the flip side, you know, you could have someone who idolizes approval.
Okay.
You know, they might constantly seek validation from others.
Right.
Becoming a people pleaser who's, you know, just terrified of criticism. They mold themselves to fit whatever others expect of them, losing their own sense of self in the process.
That's a good point. So it's not just about these big, obvious idols.
Right.
Like worshiping a golden statue. Mm-hmm. It's about these subtle ways that our desires and priorities can take over and actually start to change who we are.
Precisely. It's almost like we hand over the reins of our lives to these things, allowing them to control us instead of the other way around.
Yeah.
And the tragic part is, you know, these things can never truly satisfy us.
Right.
They're like empty promises, always leaving us wanting more.
That makes sense. If you're always chasing after something you can never quite grasp.
Right.
You're never going to feel truly content.
You'll never be satisfied.
Okay, so Dr. Yates also mentioned that, you know, this wasn't just an individual problem for the Israelites, but like a national crisis.
It was.
Can you explain that a bit more?
Absolutely. Their idolatry had become so deeply ingrained that it seeped into every aspect of their society. I mean, their kings were forming alliances based on idol worship. Their economy was tied to it, and their social structures were built around it. I mean, they'd completely lost sight of what it meant to be a God's people.
So their misplaced worship was actually shaping their entire culture.
Yes.
It wasn't just about personal choices anymore. It was about the very fabric of their society.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, it's interesting to consider how that might play out in our world today.
Oh, that's a good point.
What are some of the idols, so to speak, that shape our culture, our values, even our politics?
That's a really good question. You know, I'm starting to see how these ancient stories about idolatry can shed light on some of the things we struggle with today.
Absolutely.
But let's get back to the Israelites for a moment.
Okay.
Dr. Yates also talked about the prophet Joel,
yes,
who had, you know, a similar message to Jeremiah's.
Yeah.
Can you remind me what was going on in that situation?
Sure. So Joel was prophesying after this devastating locust plague had just ravaged the land.
Okay.
And he warned the people that this plague was just a taste of the judgment to come.
Oh, wow.
If they didn't repent and turn back to God.
So it sounds like a pretty bleak situation. Did they listen to him?
They did. And that's what's so remarkable about Joel's story. The people were genuinely shaken by what had happened, and they responded with sincere repentance. The text describes them, you know, fasting, weeping, humbling themselves before God.
So what happened next? Did God relent?
He did. The text says that God became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. He poured out his blessing on them, you know, sending grain, wine, oil to restore everything the locusts had devoured.
Wow.
He even promised to drive away their enemies and protect them.
Wow. That's an amazing turnaround.
It is.
So even in the middle of judgment, God is still willing to show mercy.
Yes.
And change things if people are willing to turn back to him.
That's the incredible thing about God's grace.
Yeah.
It's always available, always waiting for us to recognize our need for him and turn back to him.
Yeah.
But as we see with Judah in Jeremiah's time, you know that repentance has to be genuine.
Right.
It can't just be, you know, empty words. It has to be a real change of heart.
So how do we even begin to identify those idols in our own lives?
That's the question.
I mean, they're probably not as obvious as a golden statue. What should we be looking for?
Yeah, that's a great question. How do you spot something that's often disguised as a good thing, right?
Right.
Dr. Yates was saying that idolatry can be sneaky.
Oh yeah.
You know, showing up in our pursuit of, you know, things like money, relationships, even success.
Yeah, he's right. It's not about like completely abandoning those things.
Right.
But about keeping them in their proper place.
Okay.
You know, the problem comes when those good desires become ultimate.
Yeah.
When they take the place of God in our lives, mm-hmm. that's when they morph into idols.
Because it's all about alignment, right?
Yes.
Keeping our priorities straight. But that's easier said than done.
What are some practical ways we can start to identify those idols that might be, you know, subtly controlling our lives?
Well, Dr. Yates had a good suggestion.
Okay.
He said we need to take a hard look at where we're investing our time, our energy, okay. our devotion.
Mm.
What are the things that consume our thoughts?
Yeah.
What are we constantly striving for?
Right.
What do we worry about the most?
Those are some insightful questions. He also talked about how, you know, our idols can actually warp our relationships,
yes.
and lead to harmful behaviors.
Absolutely.
I thought Tim Keller's examples were especially eye-opening.
Oh, Keller's examples were spot on, weren't they?
Yeah.
Think about someone who, you know, idolizes their career.
Right.
They might become so driven by work,
yeah.
that they neglect their families, their friendships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or someone who idolizes, you know, physical appearance.
Yes.
Might develop an unhealthy obsession with diet and exercise.
Yep.
It's almost like we hand over a piece of ourselves to these idols.
We do.
Letting them dictate our choices,
yeah.
and shape our behavior.
And the saddest part is that these idols can never truly deliver what they promise.
Right.
They leave us feeling empty, dissatisfied, mm. and constantly craving more.
So if we find ourselves caught in that cycle, how do we break free?
That's the question.
Dr. Yates mentioned the new covenant, but
yes.
but what does that look like in real life? How do we actually experience that heart transformation?
Well, it starts with recognizing our need for God.
Okay.
We can't simply white knuckle our way out of idolatry. Mm-hmm. It requires a deep inner change,
yeah.
that only God can bring about.
So it's less about mustering up willpower, mm-hmm. and more about surrendering to God's power to change us from the inside out.
Exactly. And the good news is,
yeah.
that God is more than willing to do that. He's offering us this new covenant where he promises to write his law on our hearts.
Wow.
To give us new desires,
right.
and the ability to truly love and obey him.
It sounds almost too good to be true.
I know. It's amazing, isn't it?
Like getting a spiritual heart transplant.
You could say that. That's the amazing thing about God's grace.
Yeah.
It's bigger than our failures. It's bigger than our idols. Uh-huh. It's a lifeline for anyone who is willing to reach out and grab hold of it.
So where do we go from here? What's the main takeaway from our deep dive into idolatry?
I think the biggest takeaway is that idolatry is not just some, you know, ancient problem. It's something we all struggle with,
yeah.
in different ways. We all have those things we're tempted to put on a pedestal, those things we look to for ultimate satisfaction.
But we have a choice, don't we? We can keep chasing after those empty promises.
Or we can
turn to the one who can truly satisfy our deepest longings.
That's the challenge and the invitation for all of us to examine our hearts, to identify those idols that might be holding us back,
yeah.
and to turn to the God who offers true freedom and fulfillment.
Well said. I think that's a great place to wrap up our deep dive.
I agree.
Thanks for joining us on this fascinating exploration of idolatry.
It's been a pleasure.
We hope you've gained some new insights,
yeah.
and
yes.
and maybe even some food for thought about the idols in your own life.
Mm-hmm.
Until next time.
Until next time.
Keep diving deep.